Hasn't God called each one of us as followers of Jesus? Hasn't God called us to pray? Scripture abounds in calls to prayer. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus told his disciples, "You watch and pray." Luke 18, Jesus said, "Always pray and don't give up." If you read any of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches that he loved, that he started, letter after letter, you read calls to prayer. The church at Ephesus, Paul said, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." To the Colossians, Paul said, "Devote yourself to prayer." You recall his words to the church at Philippi, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, give your requests to God." 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Paul said, "Pray unceasingly, pray continually." And to the church at Rome, those believers, Paul said, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." But maybe James sums it up best. James writes a lot about prayer in chapter 5. James said, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Throughout Scripture, we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to pray. We are called to prayer. But why? I thought about that a lot this week. Why are we called to prayer? Why does God long to hear from us? Does God need to know what God already knows? Are we filling God in on something that he didn't know about? Will God not act if we don't pray? Is he so dependent on his actions that if we don't say it, he's not going to do it? Why does God call us to be people of prayer? Well, I don't know. I think it would be very huge of me to say, "Well, here's exactly why." I don't know exactly why God longs for us to pray, but I want to give it a try on some reasons. I think first, we are called to be people of prayer because prayer identifies us as children of God. Prayer identifies us as followers of God. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament? Quite a character and quite a story, many stories of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel, the second half of that book, was highly respected and esteemed by the great King Darius of Persia. Darius appointed Daniel, remember, over all the area. He was the big mayor, the city manager. He was the governor. He was in charge of everything just under the king himself. Well, the rulers, the governors who had been there for all these years, they weren't one bit happy with King Darius putting this guy, this foreigner, in charge. They were ticked indeed. So they came up with a plan. They came up with a plan to discredit Daniel. These wise sages, prefects, and governors went to the king and said, "Oh, king, you are great and mighty. All people should bow to you. All people should pray to you. No one should pray to anyone but you. King, if you'll just sign this edict, we'll make it happen." And the king said, "Well, that's a good idea." And they said, "If anyone does pray to someone else, to some other god besides you, we should just throw them to the lions." Put that in there. And the king did. He signed the decree. And the enemies of Daniel just sit back and wait because they knew Daniel loved a God, served a God, and prayed to a God, not to the king, but to his own God. They knew he would keep doing what he had always done. He would then be out of their way, and the lions would be full. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, and the windows were opened, and he faced towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had always done before. Daniel prayed. Daniel prayed, and he kept on praying. Daniel's prayer was the activity that marked him, that identified him as a child of the ever-living Almighty God. His prayer was evidence that he belonged to a God and that his God was greater than any king or even any den of lions. I submit to you that that's been the story of every generation, that God's people have been identified as praying people. God's people are identified as praying people. Just start reading in the Old Testament. Noah prayed for protection. Abraham prayed for direction. Jacob prayed, and Moses prayed, and Moses prayed a lot. And Joshua prayed, and Hannah prayed for a son, and Samuel prayed for his leaders, and David prayed for forgiveness, and Solomon prayed, and Jeremiah prayed. Amos prayed for a righteous nation. Hosea prayed, and Habakkuk prayed, and Malachi prayed, and Haggai prayed. The people of God have been a praying people. Now, I want to stop because I just listed all of these Old Testament folks who prayed, and they were identified. And I think we hear those names, and we think, yeah, they prayed and God answered the prayer. They prayed and God answered. They prayed and God answered. They got what they wanted. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were going to be thrown, not to the lions, but they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace if they didn't submit to Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, throw us in. Our God will protect us. In other words, we've prayed. Our God's got this. But even if he doesn't protect us, we're still not going to bow down to you, Nebuchadnezzar. Our God will protect us. We believe that. We're praying in that. But even if he doesn't, he's still our God. Katie and James bought the house right behind us at our first church, the Parsonage in Chilton. There was just a fence between their backyard and our backyard. They had 2 little kids. We didn't have children yet. As a matter of fact, when they moved there, Ray and I hadn't married yet. Those years that I pastored in Chilton, you get to know your neighbors in a small town really well. And then they had their 3rd child. And we moved on to McGregor and San Antonio and San Marcos. I'd love to say that we kept contact with them real faithfully, but we didn't. But we saw and continued to dialogue. Katie was a great believer in prayer. She prayed a lot. Living with James always told her she had to pray a lot. About a year ago, she contacted me and said, Brother Mark, you got to pray. James has cancer, and it's not good. And so we prayed, and she prayed. And she told me then, every night at midnight is when I pray. She said, I either stay awake till midnight and then I give all my petitions to God, or I set my alarm. She said, I've been doing that for some time. Midnight is my time of prayer. Of course, her prayer list changed, and James moved to the top of her prayer list. They're in their late 50s, and she just kept praying, and he made it through the summer, and he had a lot of hard weeks. But the week of Thanksgiving, Katie called and said, God answered my prayer, and James, the cancer is gone. And after the first year, he'll have surgery, and they'll repair the things that they had to change during this time. And we all rejoiced. Katie kept praying. In January, Katie said, this is the week James had his surgery, and he made it great through surgery. And he came home. And 48 hours later, he died in his driveway. And 2 weeks ago, I went and officiated his funeral out in that beautiful Falls County outdoor graveyard. I bet there were 200 cowboys and good rural folks that showed up. Last night I was thinking of Katie, and I said, Katie, you've always been so faithful to pray, and you prayed. And this is the text she sent me last night at 10 o'clock. Brother Mark, God doesn't answer all my prayers like I want or like I need or like I expect, but he knows, so I just keep praying. Sometimes we think that these righteous people pray and God just always answers the prayer like they want it. And Katie reminded me that no, you just keep praying because you're a child of God. Buford, Melissa, we prayed for Buford Jr. We prayed and we prayed, and his friends prayed and we prayed some more. And we don't understand it. We now look through a mirror that's dim. We don't understand it. I told you that I don't understand why God didn't answer the prayer that we prayed in the way that we prayed it. We may never understand it. But as people and children of God, we just keep praying. People of God have been a praying people, and when we pray, it identifies us with God. Are you praying? Do others look at you and say, those are children of God because they pray? I think a second reason we are called to be people of prayer is that prayer matures us and it grows us. Prayer is what builds us up as believers. Have you ever wondered why the Apostle Paul, why was he so strong in his faith? Why did he have such great spiritual insight and such depth? How could Paul accomplish all he did in the day in which he lived? I don't think it had anything to do with his dramatic call. It was a dramatic call indeed. I don't think it had a thing to do with his stature, his demeanor, his eloquence, not even his intelligence, though he surely was very intelligent. The secret, I think Paul told us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached, it's not from human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Then verse 15. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed there with him. After 3 years. I don't know how many times I've read that verse and thought about Paul's conversion and thought about all that he did and jumped to his missionary journeys. But there's the key. After 3 years, Paul developed a habit of talking and listening, and I submit he probably listened more than he talked, communed with God in prayer. The only way Paul could have ever done what Paul did was through prayer. prayer allowed him to grow. Isn't that the ultimate outcome of prayer? We don't pray in order to get something from God, but we pray in order that we might grow and God might mature us into the type of believer and follower that God can use. We're not called to change God, but we call out, oh God, change us. And the only way we'll ever develop a strong faith, a faith strong enough in order that we can persevere in this life and in order that we can serve God adequately is through a daily habit of prayer. I wonder, are you praying? Are you growing in your walk with God? And do you think there might be a direct correlation between the two? And then I think that we're called to be a people of prayer because prayer empowers us as God's witnesses. You read the New Testament, following Pentecost, the early church literally shook the world upside down. How did they do it? How did it happen? Oh, it was the great Holy Spirit that came upon them. Yes, it was. And in Acts 1:14 says, and they all joined together constantly in prayer. When you begin to trace the history of Christianity, you will see that whenever there has been a spiritual awakening, whenever there has been a great, mighty movement of the people of God, whenever revival has sprung up and out across the world, you can trace it back to Christians who were on their knees and faces before God. Nothing so empowers us to fulfill the purpose of God that God has for us than prayer. Prayer empowers us as individuals, and prayer empowers us as a church. Are you living that empowered life? Are folks looking at First Baptist Church Lufkin and seeing that we're striving to make a difference in missions and in ministry? We are only as empowered as we are in prayer. James was right. James was right. The prayer of a righteous person, a person like you, a person who loves the Lord, the prayer of that person is powerful and effective. There is no power on all the earth like the power that's released through the prayers of God's people. Amen. Called to prayer. And now we get to go home. And we watch the Super Bowl. Kansas City by 21. We come back next week. Isn't there more? What will we do with a sermon on prayer? If you'll look in your pew, we have new pew prayer cards. I would love every week for us to have to restock, in the pew. Stephanie and Ashley said, I'd rather not do it every week, but I would love every week that these white cards were gone. That each week you would come with your prayer request, just like the children took theirs, of friends and family. That you would come every week and you would fill out that card and you would put it in the offering plate. And I commit to you in covenant with you, as a pastor and as our church ministerial staff, we will pray for those requests that are on your heart. And some of you are watching live streaming. You say, well, that's good, but I haven't been able to be in church in almost a year. When you pull up WWFBC Lufkin, the very first thing you see, if you do it today, it will say prayer request. Or you can go under the tab ministries, and the very first ministry is prayer. And you will be able to online send us those prayer requests, and they come to our office. And every day we get those prayer requests. We don't just look at them. Every day we will get those, and we covenant to intercede for you. And then we take these prayer requests and those that come in, and often folks just call the church, and we take those to a prayer room. Do you even know we have a prayer room? We have a safe and secure room on this side of our building. It's kept by you punch in a code, and you can enter 24 hours a day. And all of these prayer requests stay in that room. And there are helps in there. You can pray for our nation and pray for the world and pray for missions. You can pray for individual needs. You can pray for folks throughout this community who have called us and said, would you pray? You say, well, how do I get on that? You call the church, we'll give you that code. And you can go in there any day. It's safe, it's secure, it's heated and cooled. In the last 6 weeks, two people have been in there to pray. Two people have prayed 8 times. We need more. You know, after they pray, they get this little card, a prayergram, and they send it to a person, if we have a name and an address, that says, we prayed for you. And they fold it, and they mail it. Do you know what that means to someone, to get a simple cardboard and to open it and to say, someone really did pray for me? Joy Coble, for many years, has helped us as a church. When there's an immediate prayer need, folks have contacted Joy through phone or through email, and sometimes she talks on the phone a whole lot. But they finally get through. And Joy then sends that prayer, immediate need, out. We need to expand that list. That list should have 200 folks that immediately, when there's a prayer concern, a huge need, that you call this number, and to know that 200 of your church family are praying for you. You're saying, you know, I can't come to the church and I don't do this. Could I just pray at my home? God, yes, pray in your home. There's not a morning in my life that I don't get up and start towards the coffee pot that Aria's not in her chair praying for you. And I get up at 6, and I don't know when she gets up. Every morning, there she sits praying. Whether you pray in the morning or pray at midnight, whether you pray at the church, we've just got to pray. I'm going to ask Walker to organize a men's prayer breakfast. Men pray better if they've eaten breakfast. We're going to begin a monthly men's prayer breakfast. Walker will be in charge of making sure the breakfast is done, and I'll lead the prayer. Ladies, we have a beautiful great hall, the Wright Chandler Great Hall. Now we have furniture in it, beautiful stained glass window. Ladies, why don't some of you figure out a time where you can come and pray together? Ask us again, hasn't God called each of us as believers to pray? He has. Will we? Let us pray. Oh God, the great creator of all, the God who started it all, you desire to hear from us. The creator longs to hear from the creation. We don't understand that. That the great almighty God of the heavens and the earth longs to hear from his people. We're identified as Christians and believers when we pray. And you grow us and change us and mold us when we pray. And you empower us when we pray. Oh God, why aren't we praying more? Father, we renew our commitment this day to be servants to each other, to serve each other by interceding for each other, for interceding for our world, interceding for our nation, interceding for missionaries, interceding for school teachers and firemen and policemen. We long to intercede for all people, oh God. We long to pray. Let us not just long for it. Let us not just think about it, but let us do it. It's my prayer in Christ's name.